If you earn a living, you probably own a business, work for one, or want to start one. Business is central to your life. But do most business shows really speak to you?
Today on the show, the $1 billion valuation of
Balogun and Broad does. Let's talk about the stock market and Alaba market. Let's talk about share IPOs and diesel supply LPOs. Let's talk about Broad Street.
The Nigeria Stock Exchange recorded an all-time high of
and Balogun Street.
The maximum I'll spend on fuels on fro was 4,000.
Balogun
Abroad, Wednesdays at 5. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. This show, this business show, is the realest business show on radio. We talk about the issues in the news and how they affect businesses of all sizes and the people who work for these businesses. Now, today, I want to find out what it takes to run a bakery. What does it take to run a bakery? That's my big question, right? It's a business that affects almost all our lives every day because almost everybody, they chop bread. In fact, our business hard fact is that Nigeria will consume 4.7 million metric tons of wheat this year, but only 1% of that will be homegrown. So that means that 99% of our wheat consumption is imported. What does that have to do with bakeries? Well, they make their bread from flour, which is made from wheat.
Hello,
so wheat imports affect bread prices and supply. And for months now, wheat prices have been going up, right? Because the CBN no longer provides forex for wheat imports. In fact, the situation is creating a crisis in the baking industry. And that's one of the things that we want to talk about today, as well as the baking business in general. Now, joining me to talk about this is the owner of a bakery in Sapele, Delta State, Mandela Makinde. Welcome to Balogun and Broad on Hard Facts. Hello, Mandela.
Hello, good evening, Sandra. Sandra, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going very well. Thank you for joining us on Balogun and Broad today.
All right, thank you very much.
Lagos, we want to hear from you as well as the conversation goes along. What questions do you have for Mandela about the baking business? Maybe you are also a baker or you work in the industry and you have some insights to share. Our numbers are 01465-7190 for women. For men, 0700-993-993-993. Mandela, how long has your bakery been in operation? Hello, Mandela?
I can hear you.
Okay. You wanted to answer the question.
It started in 2007, but it took a break for some time. But we officially resumed back in 2017.
Tell us about your journey. How did you get into baking? How did you get to the point where you were at today? Why did you take such a long break?
The bakery was owned by my father.
Okay.
It's family business.
Okay.
So he opened it a while ago.
Okay.
But due to management issues, it went off. So when we got done with school, me and my younger brother, we decided to open it up again.
Okay.
So that's how we got into the business.
Okay.
And that's how we started. And that's how we got to where we are at the moment.
Okay. When you say management issues, what do you mean? When you say management issues, what do you mean? Hello, Mandela. We've lost the connection to you. The line is breaking up. Hello? Hello? Oh, that's unfortunate. The line is not clear anymore.
So, if you break down credit, or you,
can you hear me? Hello? Okay. So we're going to call him back. We're going to give him a call back. Something's going on with that phone line. So please call Mandela back. The team downstairs handling that. Please give him a call back now, so that we can hear what it is that he has to say. Meanwhile, Lagos, get ready to join the conversation because Mandela will be talking to us about some of those management issues he talked about. So for those of you who have small change and you think, okay, baking is something I'd like to go into, that's perhaps something that you're going to take a look at and figure out how to solve for. It reminds me of that, of a message that we heard from a preacher in Ghana, and he was talking about, well, you know, we are the virus, the people for whom you leave these businesses. You know, that Africans are quick to talk about the politicians and political leaders, but then you start a business and you have your fellow countrymen, countrywomen doing their best to run your business into the ground. You know, it's ridiculous, really. You know, so my ear went bing, bing, when he said management issues. So I wanted to hear what those were about, you know, because you know what, while we wait to get him back on the line, let me find that message from Mensah is a preacher, I think, and Bishop Samuel Mensah, I believe. So let me get that message from him and play that message for you again, so that it's a refresher of sorts of you know what I'm trying to talk about.
The Voice Note on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We are our own enemies. We are the deadly virus infecting one another. I read an article that talks about a man said, I got the opportunity to meet six rich Ghanaian men, and I asked them this question. Why are they not building factories for the youth of this country to get a job to do? This six rich businessmen burst into laughter as if I have said something funny. Then one said, the people shouting, no food, no jobs are all thieves. The writer said, I said, really? I was shocked. And the man then went on, he said, I run a manufacturing business and trading business. He said, the biggest challenge in my manufacturing business is not electricity. It is not infrastructure. The biggest challenge is getting honest staff. Everyone we hire appears to be on a mission to steal as much as possible. They will inflate invoices, recording less than the actual number of units produced. The worst part of it all is that all the fraud we have uncovered is not done by a single person. It is usually many staff who collude with each other, from the production line to sales to finance and even to top management. I used to criticize indigenous African companies like Dangote Group that hire so many Indians when there are many unemployed Africans. But now I understand their painful decisions. He said Dangote can open a shop and businesses in every African country in this world. But the problem is that they can't find good people and honest people to manage. He says, start a small poultry farm and they will steal the eggs. He said, if they don't steal the eggs, they will intentionally kill the chicken and the fowls, and then they will ask you if they can take it home. Start an entertainment center or a game center, and then the money will go into the pockets of the workers. Buy a car and let somebody run it as a taxi, and then they will finish you. Start a restaurant and the people will take half of the foodstuffs into their house for food. He said even the small business shop, the small kiosk in town would find, people will still find a way to steal from the shop owners. The Indians are not Christians, but most companies in Africa have trusted them because they can run their companies very well. 70% of the population are Christians here in Ghana. 17% or 16% are Muslim. You put that together, over 92% of the people in Ghana are religious. So you ask yourself the question, what is the use of going to church? What is the use of their being religious? And yet Hindus, who are
interesting
not
message
Christians,
there, if I do say so myself.
Straightforward and honest.
Okay, well, we've got Mandela Makinde back on the line, who is a baker, a bakery manager working in Sapele, Delta State. Mandela, sorry about that breaking transmission earlier on with the network. Hello, Mandela? Mandela, can you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you now.
Okay. I was saying sorry about the breaking transmission there. Is the network in Delta really bad?
Network is okay around here.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, you were talking to me about the management issues that made you guys take a break for a while.
Yes.
What was that about? Tell us about that.
Basically, like I was saying, business has a very low profit margin. So generally, if you have people that are not or that are not monitoring it, it could run into debt very quickly. So that was basically the management issue.
Okay, so the baking business, sorry, the line is breaking up. It's quite frustrating, actually.
Okay.
So the baking business has very slim profit margins. Was that what you said?
Exactly.
Okay, and so you should have good people managing it, otherwise you can't stay in business. Was that what you said?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Can you talk to us about what it took to start? It was your father's bakery, but you and you and your father restarted the bakery. You and your brother, restarted the bakery after your father left it. Yes?
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about what it took to restart it? So there are people who are listening right now and they want to go into the business. And what this show does is do a tutorial of sorts, right? So what did it take for you and your brother to restart it? What equipments did you need? How much did you need? What was the staff, et cetera, et cetera? Talk to us about that.
Okay, to restart it, because it had been closed for some time, and a lot of improvements in technology had come about since that time.
Mm.
So basically, we had to get a new oven.
Okay.
A stainless steel oven. It cost around about $3.5 million.
At the time?
Yeah, at the time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Someone wanted to open it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you for that correction.
Because
things are different now.
Yeah.
yeah. Then we had to get an electric, we call it kneading machine.
Okay.
Yeah, and then some people have mixers.
Some people have mixers? Oh, no, not the network again. Oh, this is breaking my heart. Mandela,
Hello?
Are you there?
I can hear you.
Okay, because we stopped hearing you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
Okay, go ahead.
So there's an electric kneading machine. It does the mixing and kneading together.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on the quantity or the number of bags you want to buy. The prices vary. The one that does one bag, I think it goes for about $900,000.
Okay.
Then the one that does two bags, 1.5. And then the higher you go, the higher the prices.
Hmm. So the baking business is quite capital intensive.
Exactly. Hmm. If you want a standard bakery.
Yeah.
There's lots of bakeries that sometimes I wonder how they get their NAFDAC number. Yeah. But basically, most of the things for a standard bakery, most of your things have to be stainless steel because of the food requirement.
Hmm. Okay. Now, before you joined, I talked about wheat prices. How are the price hikes affecting the baking business?
I can't begin to explain it to you. Let me try and give you an explanation based on numbers.
Thank you.
Yeah, so flour price as at January, let's say December last year, was 11,000 naira.
Okay.
Well, flour prices now is 23,500.
That's over 100% increase.
Exactly. Goodness. That's if you buy from the roadside stores, but I try to buy from like a major distributor.
Okay.
So, but when that one runs out, I have to go to the roadside store to get for this 23,500.
Okay.
Yeah, but the people that get from distributors might get around 22,000 there.
Hmm.
It's still 100% because 11,000 to that price. About.
And all it took was 1 year for that jump in price.
Not up to a year, because that was generating it now.
Yeah, so not up to a year, exactly. Not up to a year. Now, usually when ingredients go up in price, the end product also goes up in price.
Yes,
but
exactly.
But with a staple like bread, there's a limit to how much you can raise the price in a short time.
Extreme.
Especially since there are lots of people selling the same thing.
Exactly.
So if you cannot hike your prices, how do you handle higher ingredient prices while still being able to handle the overhead and make a profit?
Yeah, generally, what many people do, or what we've tried to do, a lot of people play with the volume.
Okay.
That's the weight of the bread.
Okay.
And bakers will call it line, because it's like a line is about maybe 2 grams or 3 grams or 10 grams.
Okay.
So if your bread used to weigh 80 grams or 120 grams,
mm-hmm.
and when you're playing with the weight, you could take out 10.
Okay.
Or take out 20, and then your bread starts to weigh 100 for the same price.
Okay.
So that way you adjust your weight, and then more bread, more loaves of bread come out from the bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the price has gone up, mm-hmm. or you try to keep, you play with the weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some other people, anyway, for me, I can only say what I do. I can't speak for other bakeries or how cunning some people can be.
Okay. No, but talk to us about what some other, I mean, we don't know their names, but it's your industry. So talk to us. So talk to us about what they're doing.
Considering how things are now, because I just gave you the price of just flour.
Yeah.
There are other ingredients as well.
There's eggs.
There's butter.
Mm-hmm.
Butter was 95. Now it's 15,500.
Good Lord.
There's yeast. There are preservatives, because bread, you have to preserve it so that it goes beyond 2 days, because most people can't sell it that quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's sugar. Sugar, which is another major ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things as well. So those things as well have gone up. Some by 15%, some by 50%. So we just managed. So some people, instead of some people after they played with weight and it doesn't work for them, they put dangerous banned substances that are obviously banned. Like bromate.
Okay.
Which is a terrible substance, basically.
Okay.
And saccharin to switch for sugar, because since sugar started getting expensive, some people will switch to saccharin. And some other things.
You know, I bought a loaf of bread the other day and I started getting worried by the time the bread got into. No, hold on. So I bought bread the other day. Usually I buy bread and by the third day it starts to mold, right?
Exactly.
But I bought this particular loaf of bread and by the fifth day the bread was still very fresh. Oh my, I took it and put it inside those bino, you know? Because I'm like, I don't know what's inside this bread. But you see,
there are some breads that last longer because they put more preservative. And it might not be completely dangerous.
Completely.
I don't want to try anymore.
So it might not be completely, just a little bit.
I don't want to try anybody, but some breads actually last long. Some people increase the preservative they put. So it should take a longer time for their vendors to sell it.
I beg, I couldn't risk it. But you see, Mandela, in the past, we've had a widespread problem among some bread makers where they reduce the quantity of flour, replace it with all of this dangerous stuff we've talked about, like potassium bromate. In fact, when late Dora Akinyili was in charge of NAFDAC, she spent a lot of energy fighting the use of bromate in bread, right?
Exactly.
And now here you are saying that the cost of these items have forced some of the industry players to go back to these dangerous practices.
Exactly.
Is there something that can be done to dissuade them from doing this?
What normally happens is whenever prices go up like this, there's a bakery association, there's a national one,
right.
There's a state level, and there's a local one.
Okay.
What normally happens is that they fix a meeting.
Okay.
And then they agree to increase the price.
Okay.
But the problem is they are not often as, maybe they should not be as fast as they should be.
Okay.
Because over time you discover that bread and flour price, last time they increased the price of bread, let me just give you an idea of what that looks like. There's a standard loaf of bread. It used to sell for 100 naira.
Okay.
And then flour price went from 19,500 to 21,000. So what they did was they increased that bread loaf by 10 naira. Then since that time, flour price has increased by an additional 2,500.
Mm-hmm.
But the price of the bread has remained.
It has remained the same.
So you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So usually they are not fast enough. And plus, even at that particular price, if you're not like a frugal person,
mm-hmm.
you could actually still be making loss.
Now, this union that you have, you have this CBN policy that you say is affecting your business. Shouldn't your association be engaging government on your behalf?
The problem with this association is it's not, I would say it doesn't have like a standing. A proper standing. Because even when they fix prices of bread, it's not enforceable. They can't enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't force other people to sell bread for that price. So especially those people that decide to play, to take cunning parts and put all those kind of substances. So we can't force those people to set their prices. So to say to negotiate with the CBN or to be on those tables where they're having like all those conversations, I don't know. I think I'll suggest it to them, but I don't know. Because we just buy and use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I got in touch with you, of course, is that I saw your post online where you were talking about having to retrench your staff because you don't want to get involved in the dangerous practices that some of your colleagues are making.
Exactly.
But what exactly does that mean for your business? I mean, wouldn't that make working harder? And you were also talking about not being the only bakery that is having to close its doors.
Honestly, when I made that tweet, I was like extremely frustrated. I can't begin to tell you where I was or the situation I was at that point in time. But in all honesty, I've done my calculations because I'm an accountant.
Okay.
So I plugged in my numbers, done what if analysis, said, okay, if I do this, what will happen if I do this, I do this. So at that point, everything had come to the same result of zero.
Right.
So basically, I just said, let me close down first. So that was that. And I actually did close. We closed. We didn't work.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So I closed down. I said, okay, let's close down first. Because they said we need to have the Baker's Association meeting. I said, let's close down and see the outcome of that meeting before we decide if it's actually still reasonable to continue. And it wasn't just me. I spoken to other people and they said, it's the best thing to do for now. Yeah.
Well, how are your staff handling it?
A lot of them were like, the top people actually called and said, let's have a meeting. Let's see what we can do. Let's reduce the size of the pan. They had lots and lots of concerns.
What do you see happening next?
Hello?
What do you see happening next?
What I see happening next, they had a meeting on Sunday.
Okay.
And they reviewed the prices again.
Okay.
And they added another 10 naira.
Okay.
So I've tried to run the calculation with that 10 naira. And it just gets me at a break-even point. So what I'm considering is I might just try one last hurrah. You know, it's like that last battle of to see if you survive or if you don't survive. So that's what I'm considering right now. I'm considering the last hurrah to see if whatever happens, let's see how October treats us.
Okay. All right. We're about to take a break. When we come back from this break, Mandela and I are going to just focus on the business of baking because we've got more than 1 million Lagosians listening right now. I'm sure some of them are interested in the baking business, right? So we've talked about what it takes to get into it. We've talked about the equipment, if you want to have a standard bakery. I don't know if he has knowledge about non non-standard bakeries and if he can talk about them. But if he does, he'll share that after the break. He'll talk to us about the different types of permits and certifications that I would need to open a bakery. Let's say that I want to run a bakery, for instance, without necessarily being the one mixing the dough and operating the ovens, because I hire people for that. What are the different types of permits and certifications I would need? He's talked about equipment already. You know, what about distribution? How do I get my bread into store shelves, into hawker's trays? How do I learn the skill itself? You know, where and how does someone learn to make bread and use all the equipment? Is it an on-the-job training? Are these things that you can learn at schools? Are there schools? Are there institutes? These are the questions he'll be answering for us when we come back from this break. You're listening to Balogun and Broad. It's a business show, the realest one on radio. And I am Sandra Ezekwesili. This is Nigeria Info 99.3. 99.3
Nigeria Info, your number one station for talk. Let's talk.
Today on Balogun and Broad, we're talking about the baking business. What does it take to run a bakery? We have on the show with us a bakery manager in Sapele, Delta State, Mandela Makinde. And he has talked to us about his journey as a baker, as the owner of a bakery. He's talked to us about how he got into baking, how he got to the point where he is today. We've talked about wheat prices and how they affect his business. We've talked about how they're still able to make a profit if they can't hike their prices, since bread is a staple. We've also talked about the return of dangerous practices in their industry. You know, the dangerous, some of them including using bromate in bread, potassium bromate in bread. Now, let's talk about the business itself. Because like I said before the break, there are lots of people who are listening right now who would want to get into the baking business. And we have an expert on our business show today. I like to call this show the realest business show on radio. Mandela, let's start with the skill itself. Where and how does someone need to learn to make bread and use all the equipment for making bread? Is it something I can learn by coming to work every day, or do I need to go to a school or an institute, etc., etc.?
All right. There are two ways, basically. There's learning by apprenticeship,
okay,
which is what majority of master bakers go through.
Okay.
And then there are the experts that go to confectionery schools. You see, like by the name said, you know, confectionery schools.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the ones that teach like professionally how to bake, mm-hmm, all the other things, cakes, bread,
mm-hmm,
and the other things.
Okay.
Yeah, but majority learn by apprenticeship.
Apprenticeship.
Like we have some young boys currently, mm-hmm, working with us,
mm-hmm,
learning the process gradually.
Okay. All right, then. Now, let's say that I own a bakery, right? Without, you know, I'm going to hire people, of course. I don't want to be the one who starts mixing and doing all of that operation, right? So what are the different types of permits and certifications that I need to open a bakery?
First of all, the overall is NAFDAC.
Okay.
Hello?
Okay,
yeah,
so NAFDAC.
NAFDAC, they're like the ogre of everything.
Okay.
Because they do spot checks.
Okay.
They have to certify your bread.
Okay.
You have to send your bread to them, to a lab, a test.
Okay.
And then to them.
Okay.
It depends on your location. There's the environment people.
Okay.
And to, they come to check your environment to make sure your bakery environment is actually clean.
Okay.
And then there's the local health people from local governments.
Okay.
So those ones come around as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically for my own location, those are the basic three people we have to deal with most of the time.
I wonder if Lagosians will have a different story to tell.
Ah, no, Lagos. I know business in Lagos. There's like 1,001 agencies. So it's location specific.
It's location specific, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about equipment and we've talked about the type of equipment that someone could need. Is there a ballpark figure for someone who wants to get into this?
Generally, I would say depending on the size or kind of the size you want to open.
Okay.
For a small, I like to say we're a small bakery. We're not like massive. There are bakeries that do 60, 70, 80 bags a day.
Okay.
Those guys are like, they are the ogres in the business. Mm-hmm. For those ones, maybe around 70, 80, maybe 100 million there.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, for the big courses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but for like to, if I were to say, for a small, small size, medium, small size, around 10, 12, it's okay to start.
Okay. So if you've got 10, 12 million, you could start a bakery.
Exactly.
What about distribution? How do you get your bread onto store shelves and into hawkers' trays?
So I'm just going to give like my experience.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we just started, we were novices.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people tell you different things. Take your bread to stores, drop it there, come back and collect your money.
Mm.
You would lose a lot of money.
Oh.
Yeah. That's what some people do.
Okay.
Or you would lose it. Like, I've lost a lot of money when we started. I think I lost close to 200,000 or 300,000.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I took my bread to different locations mm-hmm. where people sell bread.
Mm-hmm.
You have to register with those people. Mm-hmm. In some areas, you have to register with the association in that particular area.
Okay.
Yeah. So I dropped it there, came back the next day to collect money.
Mm-hmm.
Initially, when you start, they are okay with the, or they are orderly with payment. But over time, they start telling you, take, remain 5K. Take, remain 12K. Take, remain this amount.
Ah.
Yeah.
What do they mean by remain this amount?
Yeah, they would pay you and leave some amount of money. They
for them.
Pay complete.
Oh,
yeah.
Did they give reasons for that?
Hello?
Did they give reasons for that?
Sometimes they tell you didn't come early, you used your money to buy another bread.
Oh, wow.
You didn't come, you said you were going to come yesterday, you didn't come yesterday, so I spent your money.
Wow.
So, exactly.
Wow.
I'm telling you, unless you are a violent person, violent tickets by force, then you can go...
Before your money will come out. So how do you solve for that? How did you get around that problem?
I don't like violence.
Okay.
I don't like gra-gra.
Okay.
So what I did was I identified some of the real stubborn people and I cut them off.
Okay.
And when I said I cut them off, they left with the money. It's not like I went to
collect your money
with them.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we now got distributors. So it's two ways. I have somebody selling for me.
Okay.
So that's like my own person. And then we have people that come to buy from us. So then we then kept it strictly cash. But the problem is strictly cash is like you need the quantity of bags you can do it in.
Mm.
Yeah, since you want everybody to pay before they take it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So most people that are used to running with people's money, they will avoid you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which will eventually lead to you losing some of the bread that you've baked, huh?
Sorry?
Which will lead to losses on your end, because, I mean, bread doesn't last that long.
Basically, we work according to the people that... It's like bake on demand.
Okay.
Most times.
Okay.
So today, maybe we do 6 bags. And we watch the market. Tomorrow we do 7 bags.
Okay.
The next day we do 8 bags.
When you're saying bags, you're talking about bags of bread or bags of flour?
Flour is the underlying ingredient. It's like the major ingredient. So we count our production
based on flour. How many bags of bread does a bag of flour bake?
Depending on the size.
Hmm.
For this, there's a size they call medium.
Okay. Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, the medium size bread.
About 350 of that.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Well, I think that's all the questions that I have. Now, of course, there are some modular bakeries, right? Do you know anything about modular bakeries for people who may want to start a modular bakery?
I'm wondering in what sense, like a big one?
No, the ones that are very crude, sort of, you know, it's kind of like clay that they're using to bake. I don't know how to explain it.
Oh, yeah, use of mud. Yeah. That's a good process.
Yeah. Is that still in existence?
I don't know. Maybe in villages.
Okay.
Yeah, in extreme villages. We have one of those, a wide, as in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But not anymore. Everybody has gone to stainless steel. There's been so much advancement in the industry.
Everyone has upgraded. Okay, well, I'm happy to hear it. And honestly, I wish you all the best with the hike of prices. And I'm hoping that CBN changes its mind about the wheat that is about to...
Yeah, restriction of FX on wheat.
I hope that they change their mind with that. Mandela Makinde, thank you so much for your time on the show today.
Thank you very much.
Lagos, let's talk as quickly as we can. We've got about 6 minutes before I have to say goodbye. No, actually, we've got 8 minutes before I have to say goodbye. So join the conversation. Huh? I want to hear how it is in Lagos. If you are a baker, tell me about your own experience with baking. I mean, you heard from Mandela in Delta State. He just needs to have certifications from three people. For you who owns a bakery in Lagos, is that your story? What are some things that Mandela left out that you need to add to the conversation? This is a conversation that we'll have again because we have a special report that went into the streets of Lagos because everybody eats bread and we spoke with bakers in Lagos. And I would love for you to hear what they had to say. 99.3, hello. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Hello?
Hello, I can hear you. What's your name, sir?
Yeah, this is Victor. I listened to the conversation. I can set up a bakery with a 5 million naira budget.
You can set up a bakery with 5 million naira budget?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, you have a bakery yourself?
No. I deal with the bakery equipment.
Oh, you deal with baking equipment?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So talk to me about some of these equipments and what they each cost. Can you talk to me about them?
Of course.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you start with oven, dough divider, dough mixer, cooling table, cooling rack. Work table and slicer. With this, you can set up a bakery. You must not start with 10 million or 20 million. Yeah, I've set up a bakery with people for as budget as 5 million, yes. When they get a place, then they start with their environment, their locality, and start taking care of the place. Yeah, it's possible.
Okay. 5 million naira, he says. And that's with the current hike in prices, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for calling, Victor. We appreciate that. 99.3, hello.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Yeah, this is Oge.
Oge, welcome.
Yeah. Sandra, there's a problem.
What's the problem?
With all these things I'm hearing, to make bread. And we know we don't have a standard organization working well. I'll go and dust my oven and start making homemade bread. I'm scared of the saccharines, the bromates, and people can never, if I don't trust Nigerians when it comes to things they do in secret, I thank him for opening the eyes of those who really want their eyes to be opened. Because what me I actually learned from this is that most of the bread we eat, we really don't know that these are the things that cause some of the sicknesses we see happening to people these days. Because of the things we consume that we don't even know what we consume. And our governments are just the worst type of people I can ever think of in this life. They don't even care about their citizens because things are expensive. So people are trying to look for what, you know, short corners to make things okay for them so they can at least keep business moving.
Yeah.
Come on, Sandra. Thank you for Balogun and Brodo and for this.
She said Omo. Okay, thank you very much for calling. 99.3, hello.
Yeah, President Sandra.
Good to have you on the show, sir. What's your name?
Please, get well quick.
Thank you.
Thank you, my President. I want to thank Mandela. You know, even hearing his voice, you know he's not the type. My neighbor that has a small bakery, this one that uses clay something, is having that problem. When they come all these men come and collect bread, at the end of the day, if the guy go back there, you can see bread now, just come back tomorrow. Before you know it, the guy will lose those set of money. Yeah, I love bread, President Sandra. But for now, with the high cost of bread, I can't remember when I eat bread last. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, my sister, but I'm really missing Brad a lot. When I hear Mandela explaining of his own area of operation, my mind goes, those days, Sandra, I will buy bread, put in my fridge, that will last me for weeks. I'm telling you. But now, I cut off bread from my dining table. Thank you, President Sandra. Please get well quick.
Thank you very much, sir, for calling us. Hello.
Hello.
Good evening. What's your name, sir?
Good evening, Charles. Okay.
Can you turn your radio off?
Yes.
Your name is?
My name is Charles. Okay.
Charles, welcome. Go ahead.
Madam Sandra. I want to play 1 minute.
We're not doing that right now. We're talking about bread. 99.3. Hello? Okay. Let me take a look at WhatsApp. I'm sure we've got messages on there. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Okay. Well. Let's see. These messages here. You didn't leave your name, though. Okay, you're asking for the audio. I don't even know what that audio is called, to be honest. It's just one of those videos that you find online. But yeah, you can find it online. Just look for Bishop Samuel Mensah. Maybe Google some of the keywords in there. You know, African businesses cheat you. You'll probably see it pop up on YouTube, and then you can download it for yourself. Hello. Sorry about that. 99.3, hello. Hello? Sorry about that. FA says, Sandra, God bless you for this bakery analysis. I'm actually slow walking into the business. Thanks a lot. FA, I'm glad that we were able to help you today. We've got Moses from Ikorodu who says he's a baker. He's also a bakery consultant. And he thinks that government should really come to their aid because bread is the food that we all eat all over the world. With the high price of items, many bakeries are planning to close down, meaning that many of us are going to lose our jobs. That's actually one of the scariest things about this situation with the bakeries, right? Imagine that you have my friend from Ikorodu here, you have Mandela in Delta State, and there are several other bakeries that are going out of business because they simply cannot afford to stay in business. It means that, you know, there are more people who are going to be joining the unemployment market, you know? What are all these unemployed hands going to do? You know, because it's a nightmare, you know. Perhaps it's one of those things that will lead to rapid change, because I'm thinking about the French Revolution, and one of the things that led to the French Revolution was bread. Anyways, thank you so much to everybody who tried to join the conversation today. Thank you for being a part of today's Big Three, the glass ceiling, etc., etc. We'll do it again tomorrow, right? Tomorrow I have a very interesting story about this woman who wants to get married, but she has a niece, and the man she wants to marry doesn't want her to move into the house with her niece. And now she's thinking about either putting the girl up for adoption or sending her off to go and be somebody's maid. We'll have that conversation at 5 o'clock. I'll bring you the Big Three as always. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili on social media. Vaughn is here with the news at 6. When she's done, we will bring you Lagosa.